And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And then if you turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Any knowledge we have of God, any experience that we have of God, any revelation that we have of God is through the Spirit of God that has revealed these things. It doesn't come from teaching. Amen. You can have a pile of books and even memorize them, but you know what? It's the experience that you have with God that is going to let you know who God really is. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight, Lord, that it would go forth. And Lord, it not only would it teach us, but it would draw us closer to you, have a better understanding of who you are and how you've called us into great light. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like you to quickly turn to Acts, the 26th chapter. And verse number 24, we find Paul is imprisoned by King Agrippa because he's preaching the word of God, and it disturbs some people. Some things never change. Verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. These are some of the saddest words in the entire Bible. Almost got to the place where I decided I was going to live for God. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wish everybody would have an understanding. Everybody would feel what I feel and know the God that I serve. King Agrippa is under a great conviction here. He's been indicted, found guilty, apprehended, and God shows up with a warrant for his arrest. And he's trembling and he's shaking and he's wondering, well, how can I get out of this thing? Notice that when we show up with truth, suddenly much learning has made us mad. When we show up with truth, when we show up living for God 100% of the time, there are all kinds of critics that are always around us to tell us that we're wrong, not even understanding what's in the book or experiencing what we have experienced. No, I'm not crazy, I'm just converted. the church's challenge has always been that people are born into this world and never rise above the natural level, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto them. Why do you do that? You know, I remember my neighbor years ago coming to me and say, what do they do at that church? I mean, you're gone all the time to church. And I remember saying, well, why don't you come and see? And I remember her saying, well, you know, I've got my, I got to rearrange my sock drawer, you know. That's how important church is to some people. Anything, anything to get out of it. They never step into light, not supernatural light. Man consists of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. We all know about the body. The soul is the life, if you will, or the breath. And when the Bible says that the life goes back to God, it means that God is the one who has given us life, both naturally and spiritually. And so when we die, that life is gone. There's no comprehension. There's nobody that has any understanding once the life is gone. But the Spirit of God remains within the body to quicken this body after we have died to be raptured with God. So the body and the spirit are still together, but the life or the breath of the body is gone. So we have three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. The spirit is the inner chamber where God will meet us. You see, God doesn't meet us in the body. God doesn't meet us in the breath. The tabernacle was three parts. There was the outer court, there was the holy place, and the holiest of holies. The outer court, and you know, most of you have heard this teaching over the years, but the outer court was the altar of sacrifice. It was the brazen altar, the brazen laver where the priest had the wash. And then they got into the tabernacle where there was the shew bread, which typified the word of God. There was the candlestick, which typified the revelation of God, and the altar of incense. But then you had to go beyond that, beyond a curtain or a veil, if you will, to get into the holiest of holies, where the Shekinah glory or the presence of God was, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, it was always more difficult to get into the holiest of holies. There are plenty of people who want to stay in the outer court. Plenty of people who want to be in the foyer. Plenty of people who just want to do something around the church. But it takes a little more effort, like tonight, to get through that veil. That veil represents the flesh. It takes a little more effort to break through the flesh to get into the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Shekinah glory of God did not light up the outer court. The Shekinah glory of God did not light up the holy place. The glory of God lit up the holiest of holies with a supernatural light. And when you push beyond what is service or what is just required, and you say, God, I want to worship you even in my problems, then all of a sudden there is a miraculous light that appears. Revelation comes. You feel the unction of God, the presence of God. Most people try to meet God in the wrong compartment. I came to church. Hallelujah. It's not by how we sacrifice to God or our service work for Him that really puts us into the presence of God. We meet God in the Spirit, not through religious acts. And that's why our worship services are so important, because there's revelation there, there's presence. I've literally been with thousands of people who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and not one of them ever got the Holy Ghost because they were working around the church or just because they came. They were faithful, but they pressed into the presence of God with worship. And when they started worshiping, all of a sudden there was something supernatural. They they passed the veil of the flesh and got into the Shekinah glory of God, and they didn't even understand completely what was happening. Don't ever try to get to the place where you try to understand God, because it's just not going to work. You just start to do what God says, and then all of a sudden the lips start trembling. Hallelujah. Our spirit is the throne room that God wants to occupy. It is his holy sanctuary that God has reserved only for himself. It's the spirit of God within us. God has a compartment in each of us where his spirit resides. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, but we can't get it by being in the outer court or the holy place. It has to be in the holiest of holies. Deep inside every human being, there is an inner sanctum, and without God occupying that place, we are not fulfilled or made aware of the supernatural of God. We heard it tonight. Brother Schuster said, I've been in church, but I didn't know what church was all about. But because somebody else was in the holiest of holies and somehow pulled him in, pulled me in to that special place, then we realize, my Lord, my God, hallelujah, this is real. Glory to God. People in the end times, the Bible says, are going to have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of God. They feel that it fulfills their obligation. And whenever church becomes an obligation, then the flesh kicks in, you see. We have to have a revival in our spirit every time we meet God. Jesus said, therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. When we concentrate on God, and that's why worship is so important, because it takes us out of our problems, it takes us out of our situation, and we start to then single and focus on God, and that's how we're drawn into the holiest of holies. What God is telling us is you can never make your flesh love God. You can't. I've been in prison services where the chaplain would say, now how many want to accept the Lord as your Savior? And you see a bunch of hands go up, and then the next month when we were there, he'd ask the same question, and the same people would raise their hands again to accept the Lord as their Savior. You know why? Because they weren't satisfied. You can't make your flesh conform. It has to be the Spirit of God that changes you. There is something inside of me that says, get me to God, get me to God. You can't force anybody to love God. Our flesh doesn't want to come to church. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to worship. It doesn't want to follow the Word of God. It just doesn't. And you need to slap that thing. You're going to church. There's something within me that says, no, no, no. The flesh isn't going to rule. It's going to be the Spirit, because you know what? One day the flesh is going to disintegrate. Glory to God. But if God can occupy the holiest of holies that is within us, and we are like three separate compartments, like the tabernacle plan, but the holiest of holies has to rule the body and the soul, you see. We can overcome that flesh. The whole body, the soul, and the spirit will be transformed if we can get into that light. Now, all of a sudden, instead of the body being the master, it's the servant, you see. Glory to God. Acts 3 and 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So there is time of refreshing that comes from the presence. Well, it's not that important to come to church. When the times of refreshing come into the presence. Well, I can worship when I'm home. When the times of refreshing come in the presence of God. I had phone calls and emails and text messages this week about I'm still reliving what happened on Sunday. Why? Because it was a time of refreshing in the presence of God. People got into the holiest of holies, and now they can't stop thinking about God, and there's no problem in coming to church when you've been spending time in the holiest of holies. Hallelujah. That word refreshing in Acts 3 and 19 here in the Greek means to recover of breath or a refill of God's Spirit. And every time we come in and we start worshiping God, we're being refreshed and we're being refilled with God's Spirit that causes us to continue to press in and do the things that we know are right. In Isaiah 28 and 12, it says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Talking about the Holy Ghost, yet they would not hear. And sometimes, I feel like I'm a cheerleader here, you know. But what I said earlier is, we need somebody to push us a little further. God has always wanted to have a fivefold ministry that is for the perfecting of the saints, like it says in Ephesians 4 and 12, for the edifying of the body, that we could all come into the unity of faith because we need to be pushed a little further. You know, don't stay in the outer court. Don't stay in the holy place. Come on, let's get through the veil. Let's get through this flesh. There were a bunch of ladies here on Sunday night. They came from a Spanish church, and several of them could not speak English. But I saw them dancing in the aisle, loving God. Didn't understand a word that was said or sung here, but you know what? They got into the holiest of holies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The refreshing that we all need only comes from getting into the Spirit of God. We need the holiest of holies within us, constantly refilling us with God's Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or there is freedom. And it's just the opposite of being a slave or having to do something beyond your will. You're here tonight not because you're forced to be here, but because you want to be here. And a lot of your relatives and friends and people outside of church don't understand why, someone could compel you. They really think that I'm some kind of ogre dictator that says, you better be here or else, you know? And that we're brainwashed, and, well, we are. We are brainwashed, you know. When we were baptized in Jesus' name, my brain was washed as well, you know. We always think of God's Spirit in the building, you know. Wow, was there a move of God's Spirit in the building? But what it really is the revival of God's Spirit within us. It's coming from within us, folks, you know. In our services, that's great. But when we have God's Spirit in the third compartment, you see, in the holiest of holies, designed only to occupy God because we were born with a void that can't be filled by anything else but God's Spirit. A really big boat would be nice, and a Ferrari would be nice, you know, and a castle and a special home on the lake, and then one down in Jamaica, and all of those things. I would like to have a G-15 jet, but all of that, even if I had it, would not satisfy like the Spirit of God can satisfy us. Glory to God. And what happens then is when we have a measure of God's Spirit within us, then all of a sudden it is not fighting the temptations of the flesh that everybody in this world fights on a regular basis, you know? Everybody's looking for that little pill that you could take that would take your appetite away completely. I guess that wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. But what happens in worship, getting into the presence of God, it takes away our appetite for the things that would take us away from God. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you're not lusting after or hungry for those things that we shouldn't have. You know? Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter, please. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Paul's saying to the church at Galatia, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In other words, if you're going after spiritual things, then you're not going to want to fulfill those temptations that we have. There's something that divers experience is called the rapture of the deep. If they get down so far and see the beauty is really deep in the water, sometimes they have a hard time wanting to come back up. You know, and I believe you can have a rapture in the spirit, if you will, that says, "Oh, this is so deep. Let's just camp out." It's like Peter said to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, "It's well that we're up here. You know, the spirit is good. Let's just build three tabernacles here and stay here forever," because he was in the spirit. Glory to God. It took a little bit of effort to get up to the mountain, but once he got there, he loved what he was feeling. So this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So you got to feed the Spirit rather than feeding the flesh. Free to experience all of what God has for you. Now, the more of God's Spirit we have in us, the greater the insight and the revelation that we have in God. And I've sat with people over the years, and perhaps some of you have as well, and I've taken my Bible, and I know a little bit about the Bible now, and would take them to certain scriptures and say, look, And I'd read it, and I'd get so excited about it, and they say, "Why? I don't see that." Well, really, what? Because they don't have the light that we have. They can't even comprehend what we have because they're nowhere near the holiest of holies. The greater the insight and revelation that we have of God is based on how intimate we become with God, and the more of God that is revealed to us, the easier it is to serve God. So it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, "God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." In other words, we can't really know anything of God except the Spirit of God reveal those things to us. Amen. That's why I don't even recommend spending a whole lot of time with people explaining why we are what we are and what we do. Why don't you just come in and experience it? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God touches them, and what happens is we develop an appetite. Well, I got to know more about that. You know? You can read about God and you can study the things of God, as was mentioned earlier, but you can't know God except the Spirit of God share it with you. Amen. Revelation only comes through the Spirit and that third compartment of God that God reserves for revelation, insight, and His Spirit. Turn to Matthew 16, please. Matthew 16, starting in verse number 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now remember, they've been with him for 3 years, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for what? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, or the Spirit of God. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the revelation came from God. It wasn't because, he had special teaching, but God showed him beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then if you go to John the 14th chapter, again, very familiar scripture, but it's all about revelation. Verse number 8 of that 14th chapter, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how saith then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So there's revelation with being with Jesus. And understanding. See, I don't believe that God gives a lot of light to those who still think there are three gods. Amen. We have to have an understanding of who God is before we can have an understanding of a lot of other areas of the Scripture. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. The tragedy is that millions of people gather together to hear about God on Sundays, but if they haven't had their Holy of Holies compartment filled with the Spirit of God, there's no illumination of God, and they still are in darkness, just having a fragment of God, a God that doesn't do much, a God that's still in this book, a God that left us 2,000 years ago, but we've got a God that's alive and well and wants to live within each and every one of us. First Corinthians 2 and 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we receive the Spirit of God not only as our ticket out of here that will quicken our mortal bodies at the sound of the trump, but it is an access to information and revelation that nobody else has. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. And frankly, there could have been a lot of us who were in that same place who just didn't want anything of the things of God because we really thought they were foolish until God one day touched us, you see. And then if we'll just go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21, it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. If you've got a few brain cells, consider yourself a miracle. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Why? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." You know, it's not because we're smarter that we got saved. It's just that we had a desire. I do believe that God saw something within our heart, a desire to get closer to God, and that's why each and every one of us are sitting here tonight. Glory to God. "On the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you're going to find me." It's simply because we had a heart for God, and then God said, "All right, I'm going to bring you into the third compartment. I'm going to show you things that you have never seen." Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, was taken up into the third heaven and saw some things that he said were unspeakable. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of body, but you know what happened is Paul got to the place where "I want God so much that God says, all right, I'm going to take you to a place where you're going to see things that's going to blow your mind. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." And folks, if you want more of God, you can have more of God. If you want more revelation, you can have more of revelation. But you got to get out of the holy place. You got to get out of the outer court. You got to get into the holiest of holies. And you know what that means? It means ripping that curtain, that veil. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple ripped from top to bottom. And he said, "I've made a way for you because I have crucified my flesh. You want a way into revelation? Crucify this flesh. And you'll get into the holiest of holies. I will show you some things." Aren't you glad for the Shekinah glory of God inside of you? That gives us spiritual life and insight that nobody else is going to see. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, but we need to keep that place of righteousness, that third compartment. That's God's, I'm sorry, occupied, no vacancies. God's already there. It's so easy to occupy it or allow some other things to come in and take the place of the third compartment because of the first compartment, which is the body. Glory to God. Our last scripture, would you turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, if the musicians would come. Ephesians 4, at verse 23, It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, in the 70s, I lived through them. There was a shortage of everything. There was a shortage of coffee. There was a shortage of gas. There was a shortage of tissues. It was a shortage of everything. And I want you to know that there is no shortage of God's Spirit. You can have as much as you want, but you can limit whatever you want. But I want as much of God as I can possibly get, because that old saying is, it's easy to live for God hard, but it's hard to live for God easy. And the way of the transgressor is hard. It's not the way of the saint. Really. Because God's ordering our steps. God's taking care of us. God's watching over us. Amen. You know, I don't know. I would assume that Michael Jordan has all kinds of bodyguards that are around him all of the time. You know, and nobody gets so close to him. I know that happens with dignitaries and the president. And, you know, they're protected. But they got nothing in comparison to the saint. We got angels. They're all around us, folks. Watching over us. And I don't want them to go away, because I just had an appetite for some things that this body wants. Amen. God's so good, folks. Hallelujah.